left off last week, we were talking about the issue of halacha for an avel. So we had a question whether it's a real deraisa, when it's a derabanan, but lemaisa the issue is for sure true. We also had a question whether the issue applies only for the first 3 days or for the entire week, and the overwhelming majority of the rishonim assume it applies for the entire week. So we're going to work with those assumptions right now. So lemaisa the avel is not permitted to do malacha. The question is what's considered to be malacha in terms of hilchos avelus. So we mentioned that the Gemara does seem to make some kind of a connection between cholamoid and avelus. In fact, all the dinim of avelus are in Masechet Merkotin, which is a Masechet about malacha. So there's definitely some kind of connection between the two. Nevertheless, the Gemara says that the rules are a little bit different, in particular as it relates to Davar Aved. So Davar Aved is mutter for Enuchas Cholam Moed, whatever the lumdus is we spoke a little bit about last week, but Davar Aved is for sure permissible on the Cholam Moed. Whether Davar Aved is mutter for Novel is a different story. So the Gemara suggests that maybe on Cholam Moed we have to be after Davar Aved, otherwise the person is going to lose money, and who's he going to ask to do the malacha? It's not going to help to ask somebody else. Everybody else is also chayav chol moed. Whereas in the Chas Avelos, so just because Reuven is an avel, he can avoid his loss by asking Shimon, the non-avel, to do the malach on his behalf. So that's what the din is that malachas davar avid is mutter for an avel, but not really for the avel himself. It's mutter to do idea chayrim. Since the option of idea chayrim exists, which obviously doesn't exist in chol moed, so therefore idea chayrim chazal permitted it. But what if push comes to shove? There is no chayrim. There's nobody else around. So it's either the avel does it or nobody does it, and the person suffers the loss. So then there are more paskins, then the avel is not b'chuv to suffer the loss. That just as in Chol HaMoed, we are matir davar avid, we are going to be matir for the avel as well. So at the end of the day, davar avid is a heter in Hilchos Avelos. Preferable that it should be done by somebody else, somebody after the avel, but if all else fails, then even the avel himself will be permitted to do it. So davar avid is an important category. The question becomes, what exactly constitutes a davar avid? So now this becomes more of a Chol HaMoed sugya than a Hilchos Avelos sugya. So we're not going to learn the whole Hilchos Chol HaMoed right now. We'll just highlight one or two things. What does qualify, what perhaps what doesn't qualify as a davar avid in Hilchos Chol HaMoed, and we're going to be able to plug in those definitions back to Hilchos Avelos. Again, either lechatchila ide somebody else, if all else fails, through the avil himself. So the Rishonim developed an idea that, which is probably the most relevant davar avid issue b'zman hazeh, is that davar avid is not just a physical, tangible davar avid, like the Mishnah in the beginning of Matkotan. It speaks about a person's crops that are going to die. That's obviously a davar avid. So you're allowed to irrigate the fields if you have to, or something's literally physically going to get stolen. What if the loss is a little bit less tangible in the sense of that he's going to lose a customer? The person had a certain customer, and now he's afraid that if he closes up shop, either in the case of Chol HaMoed for a week, or in the case of Avelos for a week, so the customer's not going to understand, particularly a non-Jewish customer's not going to understand, and maybe that in and of itself would qualify as a davar avid. So even though I can't point and say, I lost my crop, I lost my animal, but I lost a potential of something that I had some kind of a relationship with somebody, that would also qualify as a davar avid. So that's based on a rush in Hilchos Chol HaMoed. So the Rosh is commenting on the Machlekes that we've shown him, whether a person is permitted to lend money, beribis, obviously to a guy, whether one is permitted to keep his money lending business going on Chol HaMoed. What's the Shaila? So some of the Rishonim said, well, it's all sorts, malacha, you're doing work, you can't do business on Chol HaMoed. And other Rishonim said, money lending is not really business. Money lending, I'm not really doing anything. Give you the money, and eventually you come back to me 6 months later with the ribs, with the interest. So maybe that's not considered to be doing real work anyway. So even though we're machmir that Shaila, the Rosh writes that the medrimam amurim that money lending would be usur on Chol HaMoed, that's if you're not afraid you're going to lose the customer. So you have a goyish customer, and you can explain to them, listen, there's that challah, it's a week, we don't do any work this week, come back next week. And you know the guy's going to trust you, he's going to come back next week. But if you have a customer who you think, listen, he's going to hear that you're not in business this week, he'll find another Jew who is in business. The other Jew's rabbi said it was okay to money lend. So the other Jew's rabbi's name was Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam held that money lending was mutter on Chol HaMoed. So if you're afraid you're going to lose your customer, and you already have the customer, you already have a relationship with this guy, and now he's going to go find somebody else, so that's Bechina, that's considered to be like a davar avid. So the poskim carried that idea over to Hilchos Avelos as well. That if a person normally shouldn't be involved in any business dealings on Chol HaMoed, I'm sorry, during Avelos, but if they're afraid that they're holding back for a week is going to impact, they're going to lose something that they had up until now, they're going to lose a customer, so then they shouldn't do it themselves, but they can have somebody else do it for them. They can have a davar avid, a danai de'achayrim. You should have somebody else try to negotiate for them. And if all else fails, and even that's not an option, so since we pass like the Rosh and Hilchos Chol HaMoed, that qualifies as a davar avid, that would qualify as a davar avid here as well. Then you have other kinds of somewhat intangible, I mean, they're tangible in the sense that you can see it on dollars and cents, but it's not like the Davar Aveds of the Gemara, of the Mishnayos, of fields, getting destroyed. Yerach HaShulchan discusses if a person has a business and they have certain expenses, let's say they have to pay certain polim, they have to pay their workers. If a person, either on Chalamoid or on Avelos, the person is going to have to close up the business for the entire week, so he's going to have to pay the workers anyway. So here he's incurring certain regular expenses, and he's not going to have any of the money to offset those expenses. So every day that his business is closed, he's going to take a loss. So Yerach HaShulchan suggests, maybe that's also called a Davar Aved. And again, even though nothing's getting destroyed, but the fact that he's going to have to lose money that he would that he has no choice. If he could convince everybody to take a vacation without pay, that's great. But if that's not going to work, so then since he has to pay his workers, so he has a certain bills that he has to pay, so maybe to keep the business open, at least to offset those losses, would be permissible. In contrast to other kinds of things which people sometimes mistakenly think are davar aved, both in avelos and in chalamoid, that's the principle that's called menias harevach. Menias harevach means that to prevent a person from getting profit. So, davar aved is mutter, but for whatever the guidelines are, but menias harevach is a problem. So you have a shalota, a person calls me and says, I have to go to work in chalamoid. So they say, why are you going to work in chalamoid? Because otherwise I won't get paid. Okay, so that's the din. You're not supposed to go to work in chalamoid unless you're in a particular profession that you're permitted to work. Certain professions, certain professions, one is permitted to work. But if a person's job is something that he's not supposed to be working in chalamoid, so he says, well, I have to go to work. If I don't go to work, they're gonna take away my salary for the week. It's like a davar aved. So the Rishonim, right? That's not called a davar aved. That's called menias harevach. That's called not getting a profit. If you'll say, if I don't go to work, that I'm going to lose my job, the guy's going to fire me. So that's not a davar aved, because here I have my job. The job is something that I quote unquote own, and it belongs to me, and I'm going to lose that because I'm not working on chalamoid, or the oval's not working. So that's not called a davar aved. But if it's just menias harevach, he's not going to make money that week. So that's not considered to be a davar aved. That would be a problem. So one has to always be careful, both in terms of ilchus chalamoid and ilchus avelos, defining what's considered to be a davar aved properly, what's considered to be just merely menias harevach, which wouldn't qualify as a heter.
Why is the opinion of
Marasayan
when it's something that's not so obvious?
Okay, so we're going to get to the Marasayan part in the second half of the Issa Malacha. I mean, if a Maisa is Mutter, for the guy to observe the Marasayan is going to cost him his field. So we don't find the Chazal cells.
No, that's more obvious. People will understand that. So it's not Marasayan. But here you have his whole business is open to workers, and
the Gemara has a discussion in Masechet Mekotin about what if you have shutfim, what if you have partners, one of the partners is an avil and the other partner is not an avil, so how does that play out? So there's a big machlekes of Rishonim, how to understand a certain statement of the Bavli and how to understand a certain statement of the Rishalmi. Both the Bavli and the Rishalmi talk about the topic, but they at first glance seem to say different things. So the Bavli talks about two guys who had some kind of an arrangement, two guys, Tom Harim, who had a certain arrangement with cows. They were sharing the animals that were working, and they were working together. One day I would use the cows to plow my field, and the next day you would use the cows to plow your field. So the simple reading of the Bavli is that the day that, say, Reuven was an avil, so Reuven should be doing the work with the cows. But Shimon wasn't an avil, was permitted to use the cows, permitted to do his part of the field. He was permitted to do his work, his part of the partnership, and that was okay, and then vice versa. And the next week, when the other one was an avil, so they were permitted to switch back and forth. So the simple reading of the Gemara and the Bavli in Mekotin is that even though an avil is also in Melacha, but if there's a partnership, so the other partners don't have to suffer. If you have 10 guys own a business together, and one guy's an avil, so they don't have to shut the whole business down just because one of them is an avil. So that avil shouldn't come to work. So that avil shouldn't make any profits. That avil shouldn't be shaykh to the business that week. But everybody else could do business as usual, even though the business is partially owned by the avil. The problem is that the Rishalmi seems to disagree. The Rishalmi says that if you have a chanus, you have a store that's owned by an ovel and by a non-ovel, then you have to close the chanus. You have to shut down the store for the week of Shiva. So all the Rishonim, Echron, everyone's bothered with the cash. So it's just the Rigaluya. The Bavli says that you can have two people who are in partnership. The non-ovel can work on his half of his share of the partnership, even though the other guy's in Avelos. And Yerushalmi seems to say, Fakir. So what do you do with that piece of information? So you have a few different ways to deal with that problem. So one way to deal with the problem is to answer Machlekes. not the first machlekes, that's the last machlekes. Say it's a machlekes. Bavli zokt it. Mutter Nishama says it's also. If you take that approach, that's very good. That's very good for us, because whenever you have machlekes, the Bavli and the Rishami, so 99.9% of the time, we're going to follow the Bavli over the Rishami. The Rif in the end of Masechet Erevin writes that we have a tradition from the Gaonim that we always follow the Bavli over the Rishami, because the Bavli was written later. So since the Bavli was written later, so the Amoraim and Bavli had access to what it said in the Rishami, and they saw that those things that in the Rishama that they thought were correct lahalacha, they quoted those things that they disagreed, so they left out. So we have a rule on Hilchos HaKibasroi. When you have in later generations, when the later generations had access to everything the earlier generation said, and they were able to figure out, we should accept this Amora, and not that Amora, and that Amora, and not the other Amora. So they were able to be done on what it says in the Rishami. And whatever the Chachmei Bavel accepted, they accepted. Whatever they rejected, they rejected. So according to the Rif, that's exactly what happened here. That the Rishami held that partners are not permitted to work b'chlal. You have to close the whole business during Avelos. And the Bavli never heard of such a thing. Therefore, we pass an Halacha like the Bavli. That would be the biggest kula. But there are others who wanted to hold on to both the Bavli and the Rishami. They say it's not necessarily a machlokes. So the Ravid suggests that maybe the answer is as follows, was something that Daniel touched upon. Maybe the different factor here is the issue of Maris Ayin. Now, when you have multiple partners, so fundamentally it's really okay, because the Avil's not really, he's sitting in the house and shivering, the other partners are doing the work. But if you have a business that everybody knows who owns the business, it's Nikra al Shaim Pliny, not everybody knows the inner workings of what's going on. They see a Cohn store is open, and everybody knows. They say, Cohn is sitting shiva, and the store is open. So not everybody knows that Cohn has a silent partner, Levy's in the business, and then he's only keeping his ear for the business open. So that's a problem. When you have two people who are working cows in a field somewhere, nobody knows who's what. I know whose cow is this guy, that guy. I see Reuben, who's not an oval, plowing with a cow and plowing a piece of land. Nobody knows that Shimon happens to be a silent partner in the cow. So when you have a business that's not before Sam, it's not public knowledge, so that would be all right. Then the non-awful would be permitted to do the malacha. But if you have a business that everybody knows about, so that would be a problem. So sometimes you have a store, you have a famous Jewish store, or you have a kosher restaurant, so everybody knows that this is Plony's restaurant, even though there may be 10 other partners in any given business. So if the business is Nikrel Shane, the Avel, everybody knows that this guy's a partner in the business, then the store tafa should be shut down according to this Ravid. If just one of the solid partners happens to be an Avel solid, nobody knows about him, so then you would be permitted to continue the business, and the solid partner, the Avel, shouldn't be part of that week's transactions. So this is the answer that's usually presented with the Ravid, quoted in Shulchan Aruch. When we speak about malacha in terms of an oval doing not doing malacha, so we mentioned last week that the definition of malacha is a little bit tricky when it comes to Hilchos Avelos. The same way it's very tricky when it comes to Hilchos Chol HaMoed. We said that Shabbos is a very standard definition of malacha. 39 malachas. It may take us 5 years in Kol Boker to get through those malachas, but at least we know what the 39 malachas are. When it comes to Yom Tov, so we know exactly what you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. We know those things that you're allowed to do. Chol HaMoed is very, very vague what the Hagadah is. And Avelos is also very, very strange. Well, where exactly to say what's us, what's not? We mentioned last week to Shaila, if you have malach she'im with Terech Klal, and Ovel's not allowed to carry. They said there's no Erev, so Ovel's not allowed to carry. So he said, probably not. If the Ovel goes outside, he's probably allowed to carry. The Ovel's not allowed to turn on the light. So it's hard to believe that an Ovel can do those kinds of things. We said, whenever you're allowed to do a chalamoy, things which are malachas, she'ein b'tircha, klal l'chlal, some poskim say a mutter, we carry over here as well. So similarly, the poskim, they quote from Masechet Smachos is a compilation of braises that was added on at the end of Masechet Avodah Zarah. It's not literally part of Shas, but it's from the same period as the Tanoim. So Masechet Smachos talks about an oval being involved in Tzorchei Habayis. Let's say you have a woman who's sitting in the Shiva, so she wants to cook for her family. Today, this almost never happens. People send too much food. But Meikra didn't say there's no food in the house, but the woman can't cook. She can't prepare food for her kids. So the din is on Yantav, you're allowed to cook. Ochel Nefesh is Mutah, so Cholamoid for sure, and Avelis for sure also. Whether there are other kinds of Tzorchei Abayis that are not literally Ochel Nefesh, again, assuming nobody's coming around to help. So if a woman's in Avelis, she wants to sweep the floor, she's in Avelis, she wants to clean up the bathroom or something. These kinds of things that she usually does in routine, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes that those things are permissible. Even though they may involve malachas, those kinds of tzorchei bayis, kind of household kind of chores, would be permissible. So the poskim just point out that it should be with the normal routine household chores. It shouldn't be things that mamash out of the ordinary. Say, I don't love dafka, this is the time to do the windows, unless you do the windows every week. Unless, again, whatever it's considered to be, the normal routine would be permissible for the oval to do.
People present with the oval then remove the ability for the oval to work, to do daily chores. So if, let's say, a group of people, they could be mashamash, then the oval shouldn't do it.
Right.
It's not that chomer that...
It's not, I mean, it's mutar. You know, I would say it's more of an issue of respect than sensitivity that the oval loved off, because the oval should be sitting in, washing the floor right now. But in terms of, is it mutar? It's a meek within, it's really a meek within, it's mutar.
What about more modern things, such as sending emails and things like that?
Yeah, so emails is, may touch on those things of malachish aim, but klal klal. It's a tircha to read through emails, but I'm saying they're doing the malach itself. I mean, it's not such a big tircha. So I would say it probably depends on that. So according to those who say that those kinds of things that are such ein ba tircha klal klal would be permissible. But again, even those things that may technically be mutter in terms of avelos, there is an idea of not being mesich das from avelos. One's not supposed to be involved in so many other sideshows during avelos. I remember I had a show when I was sitting shiva and following Shaila. Said that we had just leased a car like about 2 weeks before my father passed away. So I was in the middle of sitting shiva, and the guy from Liskel, not Steve. Steve would have been sensitive enough to us. One of his guys, whatever, walks into the house. And he sees I'm sitting there with 20 people around, and he brings me the paperwork to sign. I think he brought me the registration or something. I had him set aside something. So I thought that was Mamash Malacha. I said, you start signing papers, and I had blah, blah, blah. So my wife was in the house, so she was able to do whatever signatures had to be done. So it wasn't even really me asking her to do it. Maybe the other, I don't know, the other, if I could have waited anyway. But it wasn't like I was asking her to do it. Normally, you're not supposed to ask somebody else to do it. Her name was also on the lease, so she was doing it for herself. So she signed her name, my name, whatever it was. If I would have done it even if I wasn't an avela, so I didn't think that was considered to be asking somebody. That was an example of something that, it's a 2-second thing, but Afa Bichain, writing, this is on Cholamoid, we find that writing was singled out by Chazal. Right. Emails is even less than that. I would say whatever doesn't have to be done, can be done. If the person has to, when I was in Avelis of certain shilas, that sometimes the rabbi is allowed to answer certain shilas. Normally the rabbi is not supposed to say, no one's supposed to say divrei Torah when they're Avelis. When the rabbi tzrichim lo, when a lot of people need somebody, so then technically speaking, the rabbi is allowed to say divrei Torah. We'll talk about this a little bit later on. So the post can write that if a rabbi is getting a shilas, and right now there's nobody really available to answer, or it's not so practical for somebody else to answer, so then they're permitted to answer even when they're in Avelis. So even when I was sitting shiva, I was still getting emails. So those people who knew who I was, who knew me, obviously weren't happy with the shilas that week. But there were people who didn't know who I was, people who had my number, had my email, whatever, from other places, didn't know that I was in Avelis. So I was still getting shilas. So whatever I had to answer, that's called a tzor harabim, so that would be okay. There is there was a practice that was apparently prevalent in Europe that was a very questionable practice, in different parts of this practice, concerning an oval doing malacha. Sometimes the situation would arise that a person realized that his relative is about to die, his relative just died, and the guy in the oval realizes, the next soon-to-be oval realizes, his whole business is going to go under for a week. Now, again, if it would be a davar ave, he's going to lose, okay, then it would be mutter anyway. But it's not going to be a davar ave, it's going to be b'nias ha-revach, he's going to have to close the store. Because as we said before, that even though when you have shutfim, you're allowed to do work, but if you're the only guy, then you're not allowed to. And even if it's shutfis, if the other people can't work, if everybody knows that it's partially your store, so we have a guy's got a business, everybody knows it's his business, or he's in the business alone, so he's going to follow the din in Shulchan Aruch, he's not going to do work during the Avelis, but nice, he doesn't want to lose the profits for a week.
If he has family, and a person owns a business, but it's not like his salary goes to work, he gets a salary for the business. It belongs like to his whole family. So the business operating is, so his wife, his kids, it's not unlike a specific job that only he can perform, right. Relationship.
But the problem is, but
with families,
but the problem is, but if it's nikral him also, that let's say their family owns a store, they own a, I don't know, they own a bakery. And it's true, so it's him, his wife, his kids, they all own the bakery, they're all in the business together. But the mice, everybody sees Cohn's bakery is open, and everybody knows that Mr. Cohn is sitting shiva. So that's not right. So that's what the Yerushalmi says, it's not right, he's supposed to close the store. Unless, again, unless we're afraid that he's going to lose customers to such an extent that it's going to be a dove rabbit. But Mr. Tomavia, those kinds of setups, everybody knows. It's a pizza store. The pizza store is, so you have to close the pizza store. You have to close the pizza store. I think, if I'm not mistaken, someone was on talking to me about, I don't know if it was a pizza store in the out-of-town community or something, where the oval, they didn't want the oval to close the store for the week because they felt that was a shikol dover oven, because there were a lot of people who would go to trade for pizza store. If the kosher pizza store closes for the week, it's a chadover oven. So maybe in a Hashem, you live in a place like Tinek, one of the pizzas, no one should be in Avelos, everyone should be healthy and well, but you know, one pizza store closed, I don't think anyone can even find the trade for pizza store if they wanted to in town. So again, each case is going to be different. So there was a practice in Europe where you had a guy who was either about to become an Avel soon, or he already became an Avel, and he wanted to circumvent this halacha. So we already know, our wheels already turned. We know when a person wants to do something, and halacha says they can't do it, so sometimes there's an Eitzah. Sometimes the Eitzah is, you gotta go, do what? So we have Mechiras Chometz, we have Mechiras Eretz Yisrael for Shemitah, we have Mechiras Bechor Behemoth Tahora, we have Mechiras HaBusiness. Again, not lumping all four of them into the same category, there are pros and cons of each of them, but this idea, this institution also existed back in Europe about can the Avel sell his business to a guy? So sell his business to a guy for the week. So it's not his business. And then after Shiva's over, then he'll say the guy will be a nice guy. You know, it's his neighbor. The girl says, I feel so bad about you. Let me give you a gift, approximately all the money that I got for the last week. You know, whatever. They'll cheshbon out together. So is that appropriate? Is that not appropriate? So the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva that this practice was actually done in two different ways. One way the Chassam Sofer looked the other way too, and the other way the Chassam Sofer really criticized. So the Chassam Sofer says that what some people used to do was that the person was already an einig, that means the relative already died, and now he realizes he's on his way to the Levaya. On the way to the Levaya, he's selling his business to the guy in order to avoid any problems for the next week. So the Chassam Sofer says he thinks that is wrong. That is wrong on several levels. So says the Chassam Sofer, he thinks that that's a violation of Hilchas Aninos. He says, Hilchas Aninos, as we learned earlier this year, Hilchas Aninos is all geared towards the person focusing entirely on the Tzarchi HaKvura. An Aynin is not allowed to daven, not allowed to learn, not allowed to answer Amin Tabrachas. So the Chassam Sofer writes in a Lashon, he writes, Anias Amen Lohi Tirulo, Mechiras Scharasai Tiro. He said, Chazal was so careful in the Sechas Brachas, the Aynin is not allowed to answer Amen. Because just that, I guess, can be a real kishmak amen. That one little amen that he answers, that's going to somehow cause him to get his mind off the aninas. It's going to delay him. His goal is supposed to be to get the tzarchi kvura done as fast, as efficiently, as properly as possible. That's what he's supposed to be doing. Therefore, he doesn't wear tefillin, doesn't daven, say kriyishma, doesn't say brachas, doesn't say nothing. Just should be, the goal is kavod ames. So says the Chassam Sofer, they weren't matter to give an amen, which takes a split second. They were matter to start drawing up contracts with goyim to start doing work, to doing all kind of complicated transactions to sell your business to the goy. So that's inappropriate alzuchas aninos. That was one issue. And then he says it may also be inappropriate alzuchas avelos. We spoke about it earlier, that the way we paskin, there are more paskins, that the suri avelos begin at the time of the misa. The counting of the shiva doesn't stop till the time of the kfura, but the isurim begin right away. Maybe the exception of wearing shoes. That was discussed in Ramban and others. Why one may or may not wear shoes during that period of time. Mentions in Ramban. Ramban's opinion was that all the isurim avelos start from the time of Misa. The only thing is that those isurim that are going to interfere with the taking care of the kvura, so Chazal lifted. So one of those was the wearing of shoes. Because the olden days, if you didn't wear shoes, you had to walk around on your bare feet. It's going to be hard for you to run around to get the tzarchi kvura ready. That's where there are some poskim today who maintain that according to this Ramban, then oinim bezmanazeh, taka should not wear shoes. You should wear sneakers, because bezmanazeh, wearing sneakers, you can do the job just as efficiently. So why should you violate quote unquote chazal avelos? So comes the Chassam Sofer and says, if the guy, the relative already died, so the guy's already in quote unquote avelus. He's not counting shiva yet because it's before the gvura, but he is technically an avelus. So it offers a lot of start drawing of contracts. It offers a lot of start buying and selling property to the goyim. That's not right. So the Chasam Sofer says he doesn't think that is appropriate. So then there was a different ninig that existed that the Chasam Sofer was more willing to accept. He says, what if the person does all this selling of his business before the relative dies? He knows the relative. The relative is holding by the last moments. He knows for sure that he's going to be an oval very soon. He doesn't want to lose his whole weeks of profits to shut the business for a week. So the Chasam Sofer writes, then there were those in Europe who permitted that. All right, then it's not so terrible because then he's not an onion yet. It's not an oval yet. So then it's like Mechiras Chametz. Then it's like, you know, it's like selling the Chametz before Pesach. You're trying to circumvent the halacha. So again, is it a good idea, a bad idea, a nice idea, not an idea? But Tachas, it's hard to say that it's also. So the Chasam Sofer writes that he thinks that the first practice of doing it while the person is mamash already in onion, that's not appropriate. To do it before the aninus kicks in, so then it's harder to criticize. So the Chasam Sofer writes in a Shuvah, so how come the Rabbanim didn't come out strong against the first practice? It was really asur. So he said that he thinks the reason why the Rabbanim didn't answer it is because they felt it was a mir hara, it was like the lesser of two evils. It must be that the Rabbanim felt that if they're not going to permit the oinanim to sell the business, so they're not going to listen, they're going to keep the business open during Avelis also. So the Rabbanim must have figured, let them violate one or two Isurim now, we'll do the sign up the context of the goy right now, which is really Shalok Yadin. At least that way, at least the mice of the business won't belong to them for the whole week. If you're going to put your foot down, not everybody's so smart, so to realize they should sell the business before the aninus. So if you're not going to let the people sell the business during aninus, they're not going to listen, they're going to come up with, they're going to keep the business open the whole week anyway, they don't want to lose any money. So, I mean, lose money, but not gain profit. So they're going to do things Shalok Yadin. So Mustami writes, that's why the Rabbanim turned the other eye to it. But is it correct? He says, no, I think it's not right. One really shouldn't sell the business. At least, if you want to sell the business, at least it should be sold before the aninus kicks in.
Is it of Kavanah Meis? Is it Indian of Mar Sinai? And is it Indian of just an Isur Avoda on the person? Because Isur Avoda on the person, then the extended family, they can't do it also. So it's not his Ishii. It's like everybody connect. So I'm confused.
Well, whatever his business, he should not be doing malacha for sure. Other people should not be doing malacha on his behalf either. That's also for sure, unless it's davar avi. Then you have those other factors of Yerushalmi when there are issues of Marasayan that are creeping up. So you're right, these cases are, unless everybody knows, everybody does this. There's no Marasayan, everybody does this. It's like Erev Pesach. Everybody knows that everyone sells the chametz to the goyim, so there's no Marasayan anymore. Let's say you walk past a kosher store, and you see that all the chametz is there. It's all covered up with paper. You know exactly what's behind all that, the paper. You know that they're boxed the chametz there. It's Marasayan. The guy's violating by Rav Eimel. Say, okay, Marasayan. Everybody knows he sold the chametz. It's a big sign. It says he sold the chametz. So there's a big sign on the oval store. It says this store doesn't belong to me. It belongs to John Brown now for this week. So that's something that wouldn't be Marasayan.
Right.
You mean you want to sell right? I kept on saying you're selling it to right. I'm sorry. I kept on saying selling to a goy because of right. You're right. I was in the I'm in the pre chametz mode. Right.
Is there could there be such a thing as like a shtar chasidah where the person you know is sick, you don't want to sell it right away, and you make some contract that if.
Yes, yeah, so that always becomes tricky. Braveries and stuff. That becomes very schaim achshel. That's a braver. Yeah. So you sell it. You have to figure out. You have to work out about dinim mamzer smachta. You have to figure out the, you know, brave. How to figure out how to word that properly. So we move on to the next, the Isurim of Avelos, and that's the Isur of Rechitza, that an oval is not permitted to wash. So yeah, this goes back again to the original question, is this a Derais, is this a Derabanan? So it's part of the old story, it's Avelos Derais, Avelos Derabanan. So we had a big machlek Isur Rishayim, so the Rif and the Ram followed the tradition of the Gaonim, with their opinion, that an oval is Derais, so the Isurim of Avelos are Derais, but only on the first day. Only if it's what's called Yomisa Kvura. If the person died and was buried on the same day, then the first day of Avelis, so the rest of the day, would be Derais. So just the day, not the night, just at the end of that halachic day, would be Derais. That's called Avel Yom Rishon. And Taisa and the Rosh held that even that wasn't true. Because in the Rachel, the Gemara says, Moshe Tikim Shivas Yimei Avelos, the whole thing is the Rabbanan. Not just the whole week, but even the first day is not even the Rabbanan. So that's how we assume the Halacha. The Ramah and the Shach and Hilchos Avelos, both of the Gedol Chachmei Ashkenaz, Paskin, like Taiz and the Rosh, like most of the Rishon for Chachmei Ashkenaz, and the Taka is no Avelos Derais. Everything is the Rabbanan, even the first day. But nevertheless, the Din is still there. Whether it's Derais, the Rabbanan, everybody agrees there's an Isser of Rechitza. So when it comes to the Isser of Rechitza, so here's where the Mishnah presents the famous Kula. Of the Kula of Istanis, it's actually a Mishnah in Maseches Brach, a very famous Mishnah about Rabbi Gamliel, Maisa Shemes, Isha Shem Rabbi Gamliel, when his wife died, so he took a shower. So the Talmidim looked at him and said, "What are you taking a shower for? You might attend a Rabbin, you yourself taught us that an Ava is also Brachitza." So Rabbi Gamliel said that he was different because he was an Istanis, he was so delicate, so everything would bother him, he wouldn't take a shower all the time, so that was permissible. Why is that permissible? Because that's considered to be a katsar. It's not considered to be a tainug. An oval is not allowed to do, you know, things to make him enjoy, pleasurable, those kinds of activities. But an oval is not mechuyav to suffer. So for most people, if you don't take a shower, let's say in the olden days, most people didn't take a shower for a whole week, so it wasn't suffering. It was a lack of enjoyment. It was a geshmak. You sit in the hatab, you sit in the Turkish bath, the Roman bathhouse, whatever it is. So that was an enjoyable experience. So you're not supposed to do that during avelus. Rabbi Gamliel, if he wouldn't wash himself, wouldn't bathe during avelus, he would be in terrible pain. So that's considered to be mutter. That's the heter of istinus. That din of istinus is not only true by rechitz, it's true by other aspects of avelus as well. You don't always have it by other aspects, but I said b'mlacha. I said istis the b'mlacha. If he doesn't check his email, he's going to go crazy. Maybe he should talk to deal with that problem separately. Besides the avails. But if a guy's an istinist, most areas not so many istinism. So it said over in the name of the Rugachev, that the Rugachev, when he was sitting Shiva, so he was sitting and learning. So he's sitting and learning, regular Bamitsiya, Babasa, Yavam, whatever he was up to learning. So they asked him, you might attain a Rabbeinu, an Avil's not allowed to learn Torah. So the Rugachev was quite a Rabbi Gamliel. He said, Lo Kishar Adamani. He said, if I don't learn, I'm going to be in pain. I can't. I'm just going to go nuts. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown if I don't learn for a week. So he said, for me, it's Takamutu, Bataras, Istanis. So the Gemma said, the Beis Yosef already quoted such a possibility. And the Beis Yosef in Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it. So they say the Beis Yosef didn't quote because he couldn't believe there would be such a person. He said, I don't believe such a person would exist. But the Rebbe Shemesh said, he does exist. He said that for him it was not painful, so it was mutter for him to learn. Anyway, but by Rechitza, the Gemara for sure has this after. Not only does this person have to be mamish and istinis in order to be mutter to shower during Avelus, but any limited kind of washing during Avelus, which is not derech tainug, would be permissible as well. That's why we're familiar with this din from Yom Kippur and from Tisha B'Av, which is even more chomer than the din of Avelus. Let's say in Yom Kippur, so there's a mamash and isser of rechitza, and there according to some Rishonim, taka der aisa, the rabbanon, Tisha B'Av for sure, there's an isser of the rabbanon of rechitza, and yet the Gemara tells us that certain types of washing is permissible, if it's eino derech tainug klal, let's say a person's hands got dirty, something. So a person just went to the bathroom, so they're not to wash their hands. Well, the Rishonim extend this, so a person wakes up in the morning, they go vasa. One is permitted to wash until Sidayim in the morning on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av and Kabachomer during Shiva. These are not considered to be washings that are derech tainug. These are just lahavir, either a little lahavir, so lichlok to remove physical dirt or to remove spiritual tumas Sidayim, whatever, ruach ra, those kinds of things. Those things which are not enjoyable, pleasurable types of washing are even permitted on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av Kavachayim, they would be permitted during Avelus. It's in this light the Gemara discusses in the end of Maseches Yuma about Yom Kippur, about toiveling the mikvah on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara quotes the Brayse that it says the kol chayv tefilas toiveling kedarkan baby Yom Kippur and baby Tisha B'Av. Anyone who's chayv to go to the mikvah is permitted to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av also for the same reason that even though they're going into the water, that's called technically bathing, but it's not a bathing for tainug, it's not for pleasure. It's not for enjoyment, it's just haver satuma. So that would be considered to, that's like washing the tilsidan, like washing negovas. That's like washing off, going to the bathroom. That's not a problem. So then the Rishonim point out that price, it doesn't really make any sense with Zman HaZeh. Why? Because in the olden days, a person went to the mikvah. The Gemara is not even talking about a need in this. So, but anybody, kol chayv tefilos, if a person was tamei, so they can't touch the food, they can't touch this, they can't touch that, they can make other people tamei. So there's a big need for the person to go to the mikvah. So then if there's a need, so the same way you went to the bathroom, your hands are dirty, there's a need. It's not a tainik, so you're allowed to do it. Because man says, what's the great tzarach to go to the mikvah in Yom Kippur? So the only reason why we go to the mikvah today is for tashrish and mita anyway. It's only to permit the wife to her husband. But anyway, they're not allowed to be together in Yom Kippur. Anyway, there's an isser on Tisha B'Av from tashrish and mita. What's the grandiose tzarach? tzarech. So in the olden days, when there was not a real tzarech, so then we can look the other way and say, as nishkein tainik, nishkein, you know, enjoyment, no great thing from this going to the mikvah. So it's just lahavir sa'atumba. Bizman hazeh, what are you going to the mikvah for? What are you trying to accomplish? So therefore, Tosfos writes that bizman hazeh, nobody goes to the mikvah in Yom Kippur Tishbav, even though mi'ikra din, the Gemara seems to say it would be okay. Bizman hazeh, it doesn't make any sense. That din was only said bizman chazah, when people were still going to the mikvah for the purposes to avoid tumma v'tahara. So that distinction of Tosfos carries over to Chazavelos as well. That in theory, in the olden days, if a person was an oval and they wanted to go to the mikveh to avoid being tamei, it's okay, then we can negotiate, then we can discuss it. There's matters that we're going to the mikveh for. Let's say the woman happens to be in need, Halel Tevila comes and it's the third day of Shiva. What's she going to the mikveh for? She said she's also the husband anyway during one of these surim of Avelos. It's Tashmish Amita, so what are you going to the mikveh for? So therefore, women do not go to the mikveh for Bizman Hazeh when they're in Avelos. They have to push it off till afterwards. So we have a little bit of a remnant for this halacha. What if you have a woman doesn't want to go to the mikveh now? She's not due to go to the mikveh till afterwards. She's due to go to the mikveh next week, but she's about to start her Shiva Nikiyam. So she's just finished her bleeding, and now she's about to start counting her seven clean days. So the Ramah quotes that there's an age-old practice before a woman starts counting Shiva Nikiyam, she's supposed to wash herself. She's supposed to wash that area well before she begins to count Shiva Nikiyam to make sure that there's nothing left over that's going to get misconstrued, going to mix us up in terms of whether it's from before that Siktar, if the Minig Yisrael is, the woman washes that area. So now the Shadow becomes, can she wash that area? Can she bathe herself, showers, or whatever that part of the area? But while she is technically in the middle of Shiva. So should we permit that or not? So the Ramah is a very difficult comment. The Ramah writes, we're not going to permit that either. The Ramah says, once we say that you can't toivel, so kavachem, you can't do these kinds of things. Another, the Taz writes, what's the kavachem? He says, you can't toivel because there's no tzarech to toivel, because you can't go to, can't be with your husband anyway. But there's a big tzarech to let her wash that area of his manazeh, to enable her to do a hefik tara, to get the count started, to be able to go to the mikveh next week, when the shiva's over. So the kavachem is nishkin kavachem. So I think that's what the minhag ha'olam is. I think that people are doing like the Taz today, that if a woman's in the middle of shiva, and she has to do a hefik tara, she would be permitted to wash herself. Doesn't mean she has to sit in the bathtub, doesn't mean she has to take an hour shower, but she should just take some water and wash around that area. We assume that that's not considered to be a rechitza shel tainug, and there is a real bona fide tzara for that. It is necessary, and you are accomplishing something, so therefore we would permit that kind of washing. So again, so the washing is basically asur, unless it's pataras istinus, or pataras eno shel tainug or something, with eno shel tainug and some real benefit to it, going to the bathroom, washing nigovasar, the olden days going to the mikveh, as man is at least getting ready for a siktara. These kinds of rechitzas would be permissible during the week of Shabbat.